Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, August 16th, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we are on page 38, starting with the third line from the bottom of the page, third line up, which begins with, Fred would not believe himself an alcoholic, and ends with self-knowledge would fix it. Today's readers are Kathy M. for the 12 steps, Joanne L. for the 12 traditions, Hillary B. will read and comment for us, Chanel T. will close us out with page 164, and Shelley E. is here for backup. Thank you all so very much. We also have Loretta M. will greet our newcomers, and then Betsy H. will close us out with some announcements. The OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Now we'll now ask Kathy M. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Kathy M., recovering in Michigan. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us or to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to be of service.
Thank you so much, Kathy M. And I will now ask Joanne L. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you so much for your service and everybody on the line, especially the newcomers. I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovering one day at a time. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name. to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lease problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. Appreciate your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. Have a quiet meeting. Everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 39, paragraph 2, beginning with the third line from the bottom of the page. And I will now ask Hillary B. to please begin reading.
Good morning. Thank you so much. Let's see. Hillary, compulsive overeater in California. Fred would not believe himself an alcoholic, much less accept a spiritual remedy for his problem. We told him what we knew about alcoholism. He was interested and conceded that he had some of the symptoms, but he was a long way from admitting that he could do nothing about it himself. He was positive that this humiliating experience, plus the knowledge he had acquired, would keep him sober the rest of his life. Self-knowledge would fix it. Definitely. Definitely self-knowledge would fix it. I believed that. I first came into OA in 1981. I now have 1 year and 3 months of abstinence after 42 years. And I knew, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I'm going to say, I saw myself with an attractive personality. I made friends with everyone. To all appearances, I was a stable, well-balanced individual. That's how I saw myself. It is so far from reality. So far. And whenever I read this story in the Big Book, I thought, yeah, that's me. That's me. No, that's it. That was me. Self-knowledge would fix it. I wasn't that bad. I knew I was a compulsive overeater, but I believed I wasn't that bad. I didn't have to go to the lengths. You guys did, because I wasn't as bad. So all I would ever give up was sweets, and that was even rare that I would go through periods where I would be willing to even do that. And so I've worked the steps a lot of times. I've worked the steps through the Big Book a lot of times. But what I realized after doing it this time, the way you guys do it, I realized that all my knowledge everything I thought I was learning about my disease that would keep me abstinent, that never kept me abstinent, it was all intellectual knowledge. I would think once I would understand the big book, and I thought understanding the big book would mean I was working the program. I thought it meant I was going to be able to be abstinent. And so it took a lot to knock me off the pedestal I had myself on. It took me a lot. And so now that I'm abstinent, I see so much about myself. It's not fun to see, but it's reality. And it leads to freedom. It leads for me to be let out of the prison I have kept myself in for so long. And by the time I finally was seeing all this stuff to work the program this time, I was much heavier. I was much more dark, and there were way, way, way more foods on my alcoholic foods list. There are today way more than I ever saw before. And I crossed the line. And I have 4 seconds left. I'll stop there. Thank you so much for listening.
Oh, thank you very much, Hillary. Great lead. Really appreciate it. Okay. Although we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment and haven't shared in a few days, please press star one to unmute and give me your name.
Caroline MD in California.
Caroline
MD. Roz G.
I heard Roz G, and someone came in with Roz. Who was that?
Maria C.
Maria C. Anybody else for this lineup? Okay, we're going to kick it off with Caroline MD, Roz G, and Maria C. Did someone else want to get in? Okay, here we go, Caroline. Please share with us. You'll be followed by Roz G.
Yeah, good morning. My name's Caroline, MD, and I'm a grateful recovered member in California. And this particular paragraph really describes my life for many decades. I started out as the oldest of 6 children, and I thought I knew everything, and I thought everybody should do it my way. And I spent a couple of decades living like that. I think my compulsive eating started early in life, but I got away with it because I was pretty active and I could also deflect. And it took me many years and another program where I was finally able to stop being so arrogant about all the things that I knew that everybody else should do and recognize the fact that I too had an addiction. So I have only been in OA for the last 6 years, even though I spent decades as an overeater. And truly, even though I had worked the steps before, working it through the big book and being able to develop a little humility, that was really essential, and I'm just really grateful to be here. So with that, I will say thank you and I will pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Carolyn. And Roz G, you're up next. Please share with us.
Okay, good morning, Elaine, and thank you everybody for your service. And for Hillary, I thank you too. I want to say that like our opening share, I've been in the program for 20 some years. My high school graduation was in 1981. So I just had to say that because that's what I heard, earlier about somebody coming into program. And I've been in a very long time. And what I have learned about recovery for me is that recovery is a process and not an event. And the big book says, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. And I have heard people say, a sparse amount of people say, I was struck abstinent. and my hats are off to them. I was never struck abstinent. I have a credential, a teaching credential in health. I can teach about nutrition. I can teach about exercise. I can teach about mental health. I can teach it about social emotional learning. But when it comes to compulsive overeating and this disease, I have a spiritual malady that I am clueless about. I'm so grateful that the Big Book and the doctor's opinion taught me that I have a spiritual malady, and that the spiritual malady and the concrete knowledge here on this earth in books through gurus and people are not sufficient to bring me relief, to bring me an abstinence, to bring me recovery, to give me a psychic change. I don't have that. I've tried, let me tell you. I've tried over the years, and I teach high school, and I still have to talk about these things, but I remember. And how do I remember? Every morning by asking God, you know, by doing the morning review, asking God to divorce my thinking from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives, by having sponsees and going through the Big Book all the time, by pausing throughout the day and at night by asking, you know, looking at and reviewing what I did over the day, because I have that built-in forgetter, and I'll always have it, but that because of that, my dependence is upon God and not knowledge. So it is a process. It has been a process, and still the onion layers are still being removed from me, and a lot of things are coming into my life that I'm very grateful for. So I would just go ahead and pass, and thank you for your share, for everybody's shares and service.
Thank you so much, Raj G. Maria C., you're up next, and then after that, we're going to take another line up. We're commenting on page 39, paragraph 2, the third line from the bottom of the page that starts with, Fred would not believe himself an alcoholic, to the rest of that paragraph. So please share with us, Maria C. Star 1 to unmute, Maria.
There we go. Can you guys hear me now?
You sound great.
Yay. Okay. Thank you. Hi, everyone. My name is Maria C. in California. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you for that awesome lead, and thank you to everyone for getting the meeting started this morning. I found myself, as we were reading the passage, reflecting on that humiliation aspect. You know, Fred was like, this is such a humiliating experience. I'm here in this room talking to you people. This is so humiliating. And now I know. And now I can do better. I can go out and I can just beat this thing. And it reminded me of my job. I'm a teacher as well. I teach younger children. I've taught older children, and just how toxic the idea of trying to teach somebody through a humiliating experience, something, you know, thinking about the very young children I teach, thinking about when I was in high school and I, you know, misguided teachers would say something to somebody about being late or being, you know, just embarrassing people, or humiliating people, and thinking maybe it would help and they would learn from it. And I just know through so many years of learning how to be a teacher and also some years of common sense that is not how we as humans learn, and yet we as addicts think we can learn from our humiliating experiences. You know, I can think of how hard it is to walk up and down the stairs. I can think of how much my Achilles tendonitis is acting up, and I can't wear cute shoes anymore. And I can think, oh, this is embarrassing. Tomorrow will be better. And that's just not how people learn. And I knew that's not how my little students needed to learn, and yet I still thought I could learn from my humiliating experiences too. And that's just not how my loving higher power works, and I don't think that's how the human brain works. I need God. I don't know. I'll just wrap it up with I need God, and I'm a little sleepy, and thank you all so much for listening.
Thank you so much, Maria C. Wow. Okay. So we value everybody's experience. We do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on page 39, the last three sentences through the end of that paragraph. Please give me your name. Let me know.
Kat C. in Ohio.
I heard Kat C. and somebody else at the same time.
Kat C., Ohio.
Okay, I got you, Kat C., and I heard you, Jennifer H.
Ian S.
Laura W.
Ian F. and W. Laura W. Anyone else? I've got Kat C., Jennifer H., Ian F., and Laura W. Anybody else want to get in this lineup?
Christina M.
Christina M. Okay, let's go with that. So we've got Kat C., Jennifer H., Ian F., Laura W., and Christina M. Please share with us, Kat.
Hello, Kat C. in Ohio. Thank you for letting me share today. I have 16 days abstinence, thanks to my higher power, Lord Jesus, and the help of my sponsor and you guys as a community. I just thank you so much for being here. So I definitely related to Fred's experience, not believing himself an alcoholic, much less accept a spiritual remedy for his problem. So in my experience, I just thought that I was an overeater and I would just go up and down my whole life with eating to comfort. And the spiritual people around me that gave me the example of, the Lord, they struggled with this too. Everybody, they didn't eat to live. They lived to eat. In church circles, like you have these big potlucks and everything, and hardly any of it's healthy. So, like, I just grew up with the spiritual people around me giving me this example. This example of once I started reading the Word, that is, if you're living by it, you wouldn't do this. So I don't know. So that's what I grew up around, and so I would pray. I've been in recovery for a long time, but in a different program, and had stepped out of community and with calling people and being accountable, which I really wasn't accountable before. Not really. I didn't really put forth a huge effort. I didn't have a sponsor because I'm like, I really don't have a problem that I need a sponsor for. So I just am realizing that my problem is compulsive overeating. And I haven't been able to stop on my own at all. And I would pray. I would pray to the Lord. And I would, every night, I would just do it again and again, the overeating cycle and not being able to stop. And it just got progressively worse. Even the pain and the suffering of, not being able to do certain things because my body just didn't want to work right because, I had, so much excess weight on my body and my body screaming at me. It didn't stop me. It didn't at all. So I just thank you for this program, and working the steps is actually working. So I just really very much appreciate it. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Kat C. Jennifer F., Jennifer H., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Ian F.
Hey, it's Jennifer H. in North Alabama. Thank you for your service. And I'm just feeling extremely grateful this morning that this is here every morning, because this is the bedrock of my recovery. If I didn't have entire abstinence, nothing else would be possible. So I'm very grateful to you guys for being here. And I really appreciate what was shared about humiliation. And I certainly can identify with that humiliation just kind of made the disease and the scarring worse. It didn't really it wasn't going to be the thing that, you know, helped me to do better. And I had that experience in school, like in fourth grade with math. And I know I still have a math block because I triple checked myself 40 times about when anytime I have to deal with math at work. So I'm going to pray about that and think about that with regard to my recovery as well. And write about it. That's another really helpful tool. But this reading paragraph also got me to thinking about how the disease is physical, mental, and spiritual. So if I know something, like self-knowledge, that's only the mental part. And if I believe something, maybe that's the spiritual part, because it said he was far from believing himself an alcoholic. So the spiritual part is going to be if I am willing to take the next steps. And I remember when I called one of y'all a little over 6 years ago and asked you to be my sponsor, and you said, okay, are you willing to look at the labels and eliminate everything that contains your alcoholic foods? Right down to the, at that point, I happened to be at a time when I was taking ibuprofen, but I had Advil, which had a sweet coating of an artificial sweetener, and I had to throw that out and get some generic that didn't have that. And I said, I cannot imagine doing that, but I'm willing to try. And she said, that's enough. That's what I said. And so all I know is that if I keep showing up and doing these things that are luckily spelled out in this program of action, you know, I'll have that daily reprieve and be able to keep showing up and remembering that this, if I feel, it said he was depressed for a couple days. So if I have, when I'm going to be humbled and have the ego deflation and realize that I'm powerless and my life is unmanageable, I feel depressed for a while, but that's normal. I never came into a 12-step program without crying at the beginning. So that's part of it, but it's not going to last forever. And I always thought, you know, if I feel bad, that's going to be it forever. And it's not true. Even if there's pain, it's not going to last if I keep showing up. So I'm really grateful to you guys for being here, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jennifer H. Ian F., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Laura W.
Hi, I'm Ian F. out of Indiana. Grateful to be here. I'm thinking about how a lot of times when I share at meetings, whether I'm sharing this way or leading or whatever it is, I love to glorify my anorexia and my restricting and my purging, and kind of skip over my binging, because I still have that desire in me, that delusion of control, that like there's something sexy about being really skinny. But I joined the program when I got to the point where I couldn't restrict anymore and I couldn't purge anymore. And those are part of my story too, and those are another side of the disease, but I'm speaking from my experience of like, this is a humiliating disease, you know? And when he's struggling to concede, like, okay, yeah, maybe I eat too much or whatever it is, but like, I'm admitting that I'm powerless over it. That's really difficult for me to do. That's super difficult for me to do. No. And we can know, I knew from a very early age that when I started eating, I couldn't stop. That's why I started restricting in the first place. And I was very good at it. But that knowledge did not get me sober, didn't get me abstinent. You know, I was sticking around the rooms for a year and a half, you know, trying to restrict, and not being able to, and not being able to admit that, hey, I'm a compulsive overeater too. You know, and it wasn't until I was able to admit that part, the part that scared me the most, the part that I didn't want to touch, that I was able to get any freedom. You know, which is the same for him. Like, there was such a taboo about alcoholism in society. There's a taboo about being fat too. You know, we don't want to be that person. So until we acknowledge that we are that person, we can't become someone new. That's what I got. Love the shares. All the best.
Thank you so much, Ian F. Appreciate your share. Laura W., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Christina M.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. This is Laura W. I'm really relating to this story today. As I have a good solid week of abstinence, and it's been really tough. Relapse is a whole different ball game. To say that self-knowledge is no good, you really learn that when you relapse. I thought that just admitting that I had relapsed over a year ago, that was going to be the solution, and that I would just automatically go back to all my old ways, all my healthy, abstinent ways, and I would be fine. But it turns out that I had more to learn, more to grow. And as somebody mentioned earlier, it's a journey, not an event. And I realize that I'm on this journey. And actually, how many days I have doesn't matter. What matters is that every single day, that this morning I woke up and I was abstinent. And I started right off the bat doing the things I needed to do, the spiritual, the emotional, the food plan, and the action plan. I started doing the things I needed to do to get myself abstinent and recovered. And I need to do that every single day and within the day at certain points. I don't need to obsess over the program, but I need to work it. I need to understand that in many ways, I am a capable, very productive human being, capable of many things. But when it comes to my addictive foods and trigger behaviors around food, I am helpless. I need a higher power that can help me, and I need to admit that daily. And then I need to do the work to get the spiritual help I need. So great story, because it just reminds me of how much, just how subtle and complicated this illness can be. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura W. Okay, we have Christina M. coming up next, and then after that, we're going to take another lineup. If people who would like to comment on page 39, paragraph 2, starts with the third line from the bottom in the middle of the paragraph. The third line from the bottom that starts with Freb would not believe and ends with self-knowledge would fix it. Please share with us, Christina.
Thanks so much, Elaine. Thank you for your service. I'm Christina M., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. So grateful to be here today, and thank you everyone doing service at this meeting and making it possible for me to participate in my recovery today, which is why I raised my hand. I really usually do not like to share, but I need to share, and I need to participate, and I need to be reminded of what we're talking about today, this paragraph, which is about step one. And, you know, what sticks out to me today is this, what the disease sounds like in my own head, which is minimizing the seriousness and the gravity of the disease. You know, believing my belief that if I just get the right combination of knowledge and experience, that I'm going to somehow figure this out. Like maybe, yeah. Okay. So I need to be in OA, but you know, like somebody else shared, I don't need to go, you know, to such extreme lengths as what I hear other people talking about. And the sentence, he was positive that this humiliating experience plus the knowledge he had acquired would keep him sober for the rest of his life. Self-knowledge would fix it. And it's like I can hear him, you know, trying to figure out some equation that's going to fix this problem. And what came to me when I was, you know, when I was hearing people share was like, you know, knowledge is not my problem. I have, you know, I'm an intelligent person, like so many of us are. You know, I had tried to fix this with knowledge, with years of, you know, trying to understand myself through therapy and any sort of self-help book that I could get my hands on, any sort of, you know, exercise program, anything but what this book is telling me I need to do, which is forget all of that and find a spiritual solution. You know, that my problem is not, my dilemma is not knowledge, it's power. I do not have power over this disease. And, you know, I think this aspect of minimizing is what kept me from recovering for so many years. I was in and out of these rooms for so long, and I was 48 years old before I got entirely abstinent, because I kept telling myself, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. And, you know, just pointing back to the beginning of this paragraph where the doctor says to him, the doctor intimated strongly that, thank you so much, I'll just wrap up, that he might be worse than he realized. This is a key question for me. You know, is it possible that your problem is worse than you think it is? And that, for me, changed everything when I started to think in those terms. So thanks so much for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Christina M. Okay, we have time for three more shares. So if you haven't shared in the last couple days, then please star one to unmute. Let us know you'd like to share.
Chanel,
Mary Ellen.
Mimi, I heard Chanel. Mary
from
Ellen.
Mimi.
And Mimi. That's who I heard. Okay. Thank you all for wanting to share. Maybe you can share what you would share with someone else. Okay. Let's see. I wrote this down really quickly. Chanel, you're up next.
Yes.
And then you'll be followed by Mary Ellen and Mimi. Thank you so much.
Hi, this is Chanel T in Washington State. I'm a compulsive eater, and I am gratefully recovered today. Oh, goodness. This makes me think, okay, would not admit, right? Self-knowledge. We'll fix it. Yeah, would fix it. So I was whitewater rafting. This is years ago. And this is what this makes me think of. And we hit a rock, and half of us were dumped out of the boat immediately, out of the raft. Immediately. And that's the disease. That's the disease of compulsive eating. I didn't cause that. It just happened. It just happened. I didn't cause it. It's not my fault. Well, I wasn't, you know, a great swimmer, but I was fully life vested and wetsuited up. So I was going to stay alive, right? But it was pretty hardcore rapids, and that's the disease. And it was getting worse, and I was going through the washing cycle, the spin cycle, and every time I'd come up for air, somebody's paddle, maybe mine, would bump me, and I would push it away. I'd push that paddle away. No, that's in my way. Get it out of here. No. My goodness, I could have grabbed onto that paddle. What could I have done if I'd grabbed onto that paddle? What could I have done if instead of trying to self-help, because I was trying to fight the waves that I couldn't fight the current that I couldn't fight, is what I'm trying to say. What would happen if I grabbed that paddle? And I'm telling you, it came back to me multiple times because it was right there with me. This program was here. God is God. The book was written in 1930, what? You know? Been around since before I was. But I just wouldn't grab hold because I wanted to try everything else instead. I was sure I had another answer. Come on, I'm not as bad. It's going to be fine. all I need to do is wait for the circumstances to change. As soon as I get out of this spin cycle here in the current, sorry, I'm breathing hard going up a hill, I can manage it. I'll manage it. No, I didn't manage it. Thank God I got out of that spin cycle somehow. I didn't. God got me out. And thank God, as I was floating quite rapidly down that river, no longer with that paddle, thank God one of the boats caught up. We were the first boat, never be the first boat in rafting. Lesson learned. They caught up and they dragged me in. By the time they dragged me into that boat, I couldn't feel the lower half of my body. It was so cold. And I was licked. I was done. In my mind, I was saying bye to everyone I loved. It was really scary. And that's how I was with this disease. I was saying bye to everyone and everything I actually loved because I was in bondage. Thank you to that spin cycle and the current, and self-knowledge did not fix it. Thank God this program, working the steps, grabbing on for dear life does. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chanel T. Mary Ellen, I didn't get the first initial of your last name. You're up next, followed by Mimi R.
Good morning. This is Mary Ellen T. is in Tango, and I live in Oregon. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I chronically identify with Fred's story, with the attitude of I can do it on my own now that I know what the problem is. And, you know, I've seen that with my recovery process. You know, over these past 6 years that I've been in Big Book recovery, I've had this attitude, and it's really affected my step one experience. You know, I heard some people share, and I completely identify with this, which is I don't have it as bad as the rest of you guys do, or I didn't ever do that, or I wasn't ever like that, or I didn't ever weigh this much, or and so it's always identifying out instead of being ready just to surrender. And so I had to try things my way, you know, even though my beautiful sponsors have shown me along the way and shared with me what to surrender as well too. And so I thought I was surrendering, a lot, and I was doing the best over these past 5-6 years of recognizing my powerlessness over food ingredients, over character defects and behaviors. But I think that this, you know, this is like the underlying thread or the underlying attitude that shows up in my head and is such a pervasive part of my ego. And so, you know, I can do it on my own now that I know what the problem is. And so I've really been trying to remember that the whole point of this program is to have a relationship with my higher power and to make sure that I'm turning towards her throughout my day, throughout my recovery process, throughout this journey, throughout the problem du jour, the fear du jour, you know, whatever it is that the the calamity that I'm experiencing during the day is, you know, am I trying to do this on my own now that I know what the fear is? Am I trying to do this on my own now that I know what the selfishness is? And so really needing to learn to invite higher power in and trust and believe that she's going to be with me as I hand that problem over to her. And even just staring right now in a meeting, you know, it feels like that as well too. I feel like I'm on the edge of a cliff with the bungee cord, and I'm going to jump off, and and I'm just going to trust my higher power that she's going to give me the words that I need to say, and that she, you know, or I'm going to just trust that she's going to help me as I progress through the day and as I progress through the surrender process, and I'm surrendering my ego over to her and looking for that guidance and that beautiful direction. And I hear so many of that, so much guidance from your words, you all. So keep, I appreciate you. I pass.
Thanks so much, Mary Ellen T. Mimi R., you'll be our last share for today. And we have time for about a two-minute share.
Thank you, Mimi from Boston. Yeah, I've been abstinent now for about 6 months. And before that, I had about a year and a half of abstinence. And then I had kind of like imperfect abstinence, no binging, but just nibble here, nibble there, little forbidden item here, little forbidden item there. And it just didn't feel clean, and it didn't feel good, and stopped doing my fourth step work, and, you know, just blah. And really, I know the joy of the program when you truly are abstinent and you're truly working the steps. So I know I will get back there. And I come to a meeting every day because meeting makers make it, and I want to make it in this program. And I came in the doors 3 years ago, and a lot of rough stuff's happened. But, you know, I think what this program shows you when you come to meetings is that people get through deaths of family members, breakups of relationships and marriages, loss of children, loss of job and home, you know, absence. And so that gives me hope. It's been a rough year, as I said, but, you know, that's just an excuse, like, oh, yeah, poor me. I went through this, I've gone through that, but I know go through it abstinent and probably have a lot more hope versus eating over it. It doesn't make it better. So I go to a meeting every day. I try to share. I write my feelings down in a journal and exercise, and I talk to my sponsor, and I write down what I eat, and I practice as many of the tools as I can each day. Definitely writing, definitely reading literature, definitely coming to doing outreach calls. And slowly it gets better. So thanks for letting me share, and God bless you all on your journey. Pass.
Thank you very much, Mimi R. Really appreciate your share and everybody's share. We'll now close with a reading from the Bid Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Chanel T. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Elaine. Chanel T., still a grateful compulsive eater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously it cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.